Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard.
Undersheriff Mark Whipperman.
Chief Scott Joslin.
Chief John Greenan.
Scott Zolka.
Mike Breeden, CIO.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here today. To start out the discussion, I have a couple of questions about the 2017 body camera test project, and I just want us to kind of build a foundation of understanding of what has happened thus far with the implementation of body cameras here in Erie County. I have some questions in front of me, but I, of course, invite all of my colleagues to interject for clarification as needed. Just let me know. So if we could go back to 2017, let's just start with the basics. How many cameras were deployed and how many deputies wore them?
I think Chief Scott Zolka, who is the person in charge of our actuals, overseeing the study, would be the best person. So, Scott?
Thank you.
We initiated the program in the fall of 2016. And then it was kind of put on hold for a little bit, and then 2017, we picked it up again. So ultimately, we had 13 deputies, all from police services, participate in the program.
Thank you. And which deputies used them? Was it road deputies, jail management personnel, deputies within the RAF building, county buildings? Who wore these body cams?
They were all police services, mostly in the patrol districts. And we had some in the RAF building.
If you don't mind me interrupting with that, unless we state otherwise, any of the comments we're making today, we're thinking road patrol is completely separate division than the jail. So our comments, the whole thing about cameras as we're discussing today is about road patrol, unless you specifically direct it toward an issue in the jail.
Thank you for the clarification, Sheriff. So what was the cost of the test project?
The cost of the pilot program was nothing.
Okay. And who was the vendor?
We used Axon.
And how long did the project run?
Concurrently or overall?
Overall.
Overall, I would say it was 12 months.
Legislator Dixon, did you have a question?
What were the results of the pilot program that you found? Positives, negatives?
I think we identified a preferred vendor. We had our first opportunity to see the cameras themselves and to find out how they worked or didn't work. I think beyond identifying a desired vendor, one of the unique things that we realized different than other agencies is that our camera would have to have a 12-hour battery life because our shifts were different than other departments that were using cameras.
And was that a problem during the pilot that they didn't run for 12 hours?
To Scott, was it a problem? I don't think so.
We had no technical difficulties regarding the battery or the uploads and subsequently the access to the cloud for the evidence.
And I know, and Sheriff, I know you said it's for road patrol, but are there instances or places where officers should not or could not be using them?
That's why I wanted to differentiate between the jail and the road patrol. Obviously, we have a static cameras in the jail to record where it's appropriate, but not to record where it was inappropriate. The body-worn camera is a mobile camera. Obviously, fixed cameras wouldn't be as appropriate for patrol as it is in the jail. So we have not deployed body cameras in the jail, although when we do like a cell extraction, we will have a mobile camera for that, but otherwise we don't use mobile cameras within the jail.
What's the feeling of the deputies? Did they find it useful? Did they think it was helpful in their cases, in most cases, or what was their feeling about having
independently that? I guess we'd say from the indications we're getting from the union is that the union is open-minded to this. They probably recognize that there are benefits, and where the data is prematurely released or not taken in the totality of the circumstances, there could be negative inappropriate consequences as well. But to say they are open-minded to this, but we are not doing any active investigations, any active negotiations with the union regarding the deployment of cameras.
What would be the process? Like, I always say that the body cameras, in my estimation, are a useful tool for both sides at that moment in time to tell the story of what happened in that moment in time. But when do you start recording? Because what I find is it doesn't always tell the story of what led up to the incident that might be caught on camera. So when do you start recording, or when should you start recording?
I think different agencies have reacted or have done this differently, providing opportunities for officers to turn cameras on and off. I certainly recognize, among other concerns, that if the public was to recognize that every word that they ever spoke to police officers was going to be recorded, we would see a huge decrease in the willingness of the public to share information with us, which is one of the critical factors in the success, and you'll hear it anywhere, but the success of an agency is the public's willingness to share information and know that it can remain confidential as soon as a recorder is turned on or there's knowledge that a recorder is present. I think the information flow will instantly decrease. So I think there's your answer. If we insist cameras are on all the time, we will hear very little in the regards to private confidential information. If they're allowed to be turned on and off, there would still be some decrease in information. Again, if they're on all the time, we won't be hearing from the public as much necessary and useful information as we hear now.
Is there a plan in place or a schedule in place right now where you will be or have been having ongoing discussions with the Buffalo Police Department as to the usefulness of the body cams with them and what you hope to, what information you hope to gather from that?
We continue to have discussions with the Buffalo Police Department, as does our unions, union to union, that we're not privy with, but we know those discussions are being had both at the management level and at the field level. Those will continue, as do our discussions with other police agencies that have either already deployed cameras or are contemplating it, including other agencies within Erie County. Several others are considering it at the same time we are.
So you'll be able to gather some information from the Buffalo Police Department as to its usefulness and as to what might work better or not as well and what's worth the investment?
I expect yes.
Just my final question for now. I know money has, we talk about the financial piece of it and how much it might cost, and there was reference made to looking for grants. Have there been any efforts by the Sheriff's Office to look for grants thus far that might be able to help fund these long-term?
We monitor grants within our own office on a daily basis. The New York State Sheriff's Association monitors that for the benefit of all of the sheriffs across the state. The vendors are obviously would be the quickest. If there's a grant out there that would increase the sale of their product, they're quickly also going to inform us. So we remain very interested in the presence of grants. There have been grants suggested that paid up to half. There may have been some suggested that paid even more than half, but I am not aware of any grants that currently exist that would cover the cost of body-worn cameras.
But they might cover half the cost.
That was a suggestion that actually was made from the federal government, Department of Justice, and I don't think that it ever came true. It was once suggested prior president, but I don't think it ever, the money, they never showed us the money.
Thank you, Legislator. Legislator Brusel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Sheriff Howard, or Scott, whoever can answer the question more adequately, in the 2017 study, you had 13 officers on there. Were the instructions to those officers that they had the ability to turn on and off that camera at any time?
The policy that was agreed upon with the union was that any time that a encounter was happening, that would be it would be activated. If it was just a direction, you know, where do I need to go within the Rath building, it wouldn't be activated. But if it was anything that could raise to the level of criminal behavior, it was activated. We noticed, and then following that, when it was activated, it was automatically attached to a CL, which is our reporting system. So we had cross-reference in regards to our database as well as our evidence base.
Based on the actual review of the tape during the course of their day, the 13 folks that were out there, and that if the camera was turned off, how are you notified? Who reviews that? I mean, direct supervisor, how does that work? And is the question, why did you not have it on now? This would have benefited you. This would have benefited, you know, the overall.
Well, as the pilot program, one of the buy-ins from the unions was it wouldn't be used for discipline purposes. It was just a test pilot or test program at that point. So it was not under review. If you didn't turn it on, there was no questions from superiors or supervisors in regards to why wasn't it turned on. But after the review of the program, we don't recall an incident where it was looked in hindsight saying, oh, it should have been turned on. The deputies involved were, once they got used to it, were pretty pretty capable of determining when or when it shouldn't be put on. And most of those were when a CL was recorded, other than just a how are you doing conversation to collect, to mark as that.
And the majority of your deputies are ride alone or are they a partner?
Majority of the, if they're out in a district, they are ride along. Right alone. The Rath building personnel obviously had multiple deputies working with that individual that day.
Okay, so Legislator Lawgren and I are not in the same car together, but we're both deputies. So if I'm pulling somebody over or I'm going to a call, the protocol would be based off of what you learned. And again, I understand the union negotiation that has to take place, that this is not used for discipline. This is used to protect everybody involved and to get an actual account of what took place. At what point did they turn it on? Did they turn it on when the person is, the engagement is there, that talk, you know, maybe it's a heated situation. Let's say we're going into a heated situation. Do you pop that button then, or do you pop the button after? I mean, how did they do their job?
I did not have the time to review or just watch every piece of evidence that was captured. However, the ones that I did was on a traffic stop. As the car was pulled over, the body camera was activated. And if there was interaction with another deputy who didn't have a body camera at that point, one of the features of the camera that we did use did have a mute. So they were able to mute the audio at that time to prevent any police information being recorded. So if there's talk about any information, confidential information, so we're able to do that. I don't recall any of those circumstances happening out of the videos that I watched. However, we had that capability. So there was, once it was initiated, we did not experience any deputy who would turn it off in the middle of an incident and then turn it back on. They were cognizant that it was on, and they, until completion of that that incident, it was turned off. Most times in traffic stops, it was turned off at when the traffic stop was over and they actually pulled out into the lane and the deputy had to click it off.
Is there a delay on that mute button? In other words, like, so they have a second to hit the button so you do not put out publicly information that would be helpful to your investigations?
No, the technology was instant on, instant off. Okay. Unlike the video, the moment you would initiate the body camera, it actually has a buffer of 30 seconds prior. So it's hard to explain. It's always recording, but it dumps every 30 seconds. So it records the 30 seconds, dumps it, starts again. So the moment I click it, it actually goes back 30 seconds in time to that incident. But for the mute option, it's instant on, instant off.
Okay. And then I guess, what's the downside to body cams? I mean, obviously Buffalo's getting them. Yeah, I mean, there's a great, you know, frenzy about this. What is the downside to having these cameras?
They can speak first.
Can you?
Sure.
Thank you.
There you go.
Using the video, which the current rulings are that it is foilable.
Okay.
But prior to its being foiled, we have an opportunity to redact information that would inappropriately give the identity of the individual or otherwise interfere with an investigation. By the way, that's one of the major expenses here, the number of people that are involved in that and how long. I think it was like, 15 minutes it would take to properly redact a two-minute video. But to say to the downside, somebody asks for a video intent on painting a picture that's not necessarily an accurate picture. So in a defense of any criminal case, defense attorneys would try to sway public opinion in favor of the defendant. And so they would only project the information that benefits them. Law enforcement is in the people in this case, save their case for the prosecution. They don't want to we try our cases in court. We don't try our cases in the media. So we have one side that is swaying public opinion with clearly one side of the story, because the people are law enforcement, including for the civil defense of the people, know it's best to try their case in court when the whole story is out there. So we have seen examples of trying the cases in the media, that again, the projected opinion isn't at all what the end result is a year, 2 years, sometimes 6 years later when the civil case is resolved. Nobody cares about that old case anymore, and all the damage has been done to undermine the trust in law enforcement instead of enhancing the trust, which we would like to think that this is capable of. It may often have the opposite effect.
I on some of the this sounds like a contradiction, but the technology is also an issue. The camera has a wider field of vision than the human, so now the camera's capturing something that may not be seen by a deputy involved with an incident, especially a high stress incident. And Four Sciences has done numerous studies in regards to reaction time, vision of law enforcement officers while involved with a high-stress incident, and how the field of vision does narrow and become tunnel vision. Beyond that, it also has the capability of seeing more in the dark than a human can. So, you know, now you're talking about defense attorneys stating that, well, why didn't you see this? Why didn't, you know, you could have avoided this because it's very evident on the video. Well, that it may not have been because the human eye cannot detect that type of motion or cannot see within those light levels. So there are some of those that could cause problems later on in regards to the prosecution of a case. Also, looking at different vendors, the technology in regards to, we're kind of in a we're not unique in regards to law enforcement, but we are kind of confined in regards to who we can use as vendors. We need a vendor who has a 12-hour battery life, not one that has up to 12 hours. You know, if there is the instance where body camera is activated all day and that shift lasts 12 hours, then we need a product that will comply with our shifts. So, you know, the technology can hinder or present stuff that a high-stress situation and a deputy or law enforcement officer will not see.
But again, on the other side, then, it's also going to show that agitated state that the perp is been in before. So it could go both ways. I mean, you give me the downside, because that's what I asked for. The upside to the officer. What is the upside to the officer for having that information, you know, that interaction that happens before what shows on TV?
Sure. And that goes back to evidence. If the police report states that the subject took a fighting stance, clenched his fists, that's one thing to write in a police report. That's an accurate statement. However, now we have the evidence that shows that the subject was in an agitated state, took an aggressive stance. Therefore, the use of force paradigm was engaged at that point, whether it was hands-on or had to go beyond that. So yes, it can show that. It has positives, it has some drawbacks, but ultimately that's what I think you were asking for.
If I may, one of the positives I think that the studies are reporting where they're already out there is a reduction in the number of complaints that are filed. It could be two causes of that. One is that the presence of the camera is controlling the behavior of the officer. The second half of that, they don't think it's been determined which is the case. The second half of that is that the public, upon being aware that there's a camera, doesn't make the complaint because they know in advance that what they're complaining or what they're alleging is in fact not true, and that's going to be shown. So the reduction isn't necessarily, the reduction in complaints that are filed isn't necessarily a change in the behavior on the part of the officer or combination with the fact that the persons that made the complaint knows that it's going to be shown to not be true.
Okay. All right, with those questions asked, can I just ask, is there a willingness? I know that cost has been the biggest hurdle that we're looking for, but is there a willingness to work together to at least put cameras on some, if not all, of on-road deputies?
A great question, and actually I was expecting that would be the opening question, which may have brought a quick end to this. If someone said right now, these cameras are free, You want them to sign up and you got them, I'll sign up today and we'll start negotiating how we can use them. The more money we have to spend, the more concern I have that I don't want useful equipment on a shelf because we've got other reasons that have come up that prevent us from using it. So I'd say if this body was to say today, we will find you the money, start negotiating with the union, do we have a deal? I'd say first promise me that the expenditure of that money will not delay our acquisition of a new helicopter, which unquestionably saves lives. That the expenditure for this reason will not delay us obtaining a full-time SWAT team, which for 3 years we've been pursuing because we know that SWAT team is relied on increasingly by both our own people as well as other police agencies in Erie County. And again, if you tell me you've got the money and these things will not be impacted, because I in my heart believe these are more appropriate expenditures of any additional money than are the cameras, then I would say we'll start working at it today. But I need to point out something that this body may not know, that in the last 5 years, we have had none zero complaints of use of force by the public against any member of the Erie County Sheriff's Road Patrol. No complaints. We have had internally reported if our deputies use force, they are already required to report that. It is already a state standard that they must report it, that we document an investigation is done, and that is subject to review by the state during accreditation, and there's been no question that we have not done that. But the number of the, in the last 3 years, the average number of times that our deputies use force is 8 times per year from Road Patrol. So we're chasing potentially or contemplating the expenditure of $1 million a year for the next 5 years to document. And there's more here. There's, you know, traffic and other things. But if our focus is use of force, zero complaints from the public in the last 5 years, and again, an average of about 8 times a year that our deputies use any force, more than simple handcuffing and a prisoner is not use of force, but anything more than that is.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about.
Just to clarify, I said a willingness to work together. I didn't say that we were going to provide all the money. Mm-hmm.
Legislator, if I sounded negative against you, I did not mean that. I just meant that I where cameras are being demanded, there are agencies that are at least suggestion that excessive force is a regular practice within those agencies. I'm not saying that it's so. There are people that would suggest that is the case within our sheriff's office. I would tell you that is not proven to be the case. And contrary to what you have read, and now I'll switch to the jail, specifically about the jail management, where those allegations have been made over the last 15 years, when you see the Department of Justice investigation from way back then, there was never a finding by the Department of Justice that our staff was engaging in excessive force, or that in the cases where force was appropriate or where force was used, that it was properly investigated and found out not to be the case. The ongoing focus by the Department of Justice in our jail, hear it and hear it clearer, is regarding the medical and the mental health treatment within that facility. And until a year ago, that was under the county executive, not under the sheriff.
Okay. All right. The willingness to work together is there. All right. I want to clarify that, because of the fact I agree that the most important thing that you guys get is a helicopter. Then I believe you need to replace the pilot too. I don't know if you've done that. But the gentleman that does this is retired. So, I mean, those are priorities, there's no doubt. I've done some research on the SWAT topic. That's a different day. That's not for today. But I would like to, again, I cannot, that's great that there's only 8 recorded things, but with all your road patrol, your domestics, the opportunity alone for a situation to become elevated with all the calls you make in a year is got to be worth the money to protect a ride alone deputy at some point in time. A ride alone deputy, that deputy, male, female, big, small, doesn't matter, is at risk going into every situation until, and I'm just saying that I think this would be a good move to work together to fix this sometime in the very near future. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Legislator. And thank you, Mr. Sheriff, for your comments. But just to follow up with the 8 recorded incidents of excessive use of force.
Use of force.
I will tell you by year. 2018. Mm-hmm. These deputies. The deputies are required to report any use of force on their part. And again, mere handcuffing is not considered the use of force. But if there's a struggle, pepper spray, etc., used, they are required to report it. 10 were reported in 2018, self-reported by the deputies, 11 in 2017, and 5 in 2016. That's where the average of eight per year come from.
And how many were reported during the pilot program of the body cams?
How many of them were during the pilot program?
Yeah, how many?
I would say 11.
2017.
Just I'm sorry, 2017. So all of those in 2017, assuming that the deputies that were involved in those were wearing them. I don't know if you have that statistic. If you do, how many use of force of the deputies?
With the deputies that were wearing the cameras during the
involved
pilot.
Use of force.
I don't have the use of force complaints for that specific individual. All I can say is that there were zero complaints about those individuals wearing body cameras, as well as our other deputies.
At this time, we don't know.
You don't have the number with you.
Well, we're happy to report that back. It may take some searching to do if any of those were by the deputies that were wearing cameras or using cameras, any of that 11. But I think that's assuming all of 2017, Scott, was January to December?
No, but we'll look through the dates that it was.
We'll report back on that.
Very good. Thank you. So with Legislator Brusso's comment of a willingness to cooperate and work together to be able to implement such a program, it has been said on record by you, Mr. Zilka, that you did feel the pilot program was a success. Moving forward, and I see that the helicopter and the SWAT team is a priority in terms of finances for the Office of the Sheriff. With body cams being something that could be included in that priority, what next steps do you feel could be taken from the Office of the Sheriff to kind of make sure that that's something that we can get funded? What are you going to issue an RFP or come to the legislature and ask for funding? I mean, if you feel like the program was a success, what next steps do you feel your office can take to implement body cams?
The program was a success in that we learned a lot about cameras. Mm-hmm. It's successful in that we have a better idea of what the actual cost would be. To say that it did what we hoped it would do, I think it's too soon to comment in that regard. And did it cause any significant reduction in the use of force? I don't think there's any indication of that.
Good things that came out of the program?
What was the success?
Yes. What were the successes?
We learned about the cameras. Having used them, we both learned, and our union, which is a separate part of this, learned more about cameras. So in that regard, it was successful. We know better what we need if we're going to go this direction. So we'll be a better customer to know what to ask for when the time comes if we issue an RFP. So in that regards, it was successful. Did it do any of the things that we're hoping it would do? I don't know that that's been shown. And Scott, if you think that it has, then you're free to speak to that. Did it prove it? Did it do those things? Did it cause a reduction in complaints? There were no complaints by the public, so we can't have I think the statistics report a one-third reduction in citizen complaints. We had no complaints, so a one-third reduction of no complaints is no reduction. So to say, I'm glad we did the study. We're much more knowledgeable on how to proceed. You can better determine. I still say, if there's a grant out there and there's cameras that are free, I'll sign up for them. How much money we should spend, you can determine that.
Who from the sheriff's office researches grants and writes grants on your behalf?
Chief Greenan's office is responsible for it. Scott Zilka monitors it because of his work with the camera companies. As I said, the New York State Sheriff's Association monitors grants as they come available and send us notice whenever they do. And once again, the vendors know better than anyone. If there's a grant out there, the vendors are knowing. Other people like me will look for the equipment if it's free.
And is there a willingness to do that grant research from Chief Greenan?
Absolutely.
And on December, at the December 13th committee, you came up with the cost being approximately a little over $1 million. Where do you get that figure from?
Scott Zilka prepared it. I think as with any new technology, you've seen it with the widescreen TVs, as they become more people manufacturing them and the technology becomes older, the prices go down. So I think there has been a slight decrease in the price. But as the courts have ruled to the foilability of these records that they are foilable, I think that's actually added to our price with the increased number of personnel that would have to be involved in this because of the search and the redacting of inappropriate information before it's released has caused an increase in it. So the equipment costs continue to decline. The personnel involved in the searching of the records, that expense continues to go up.
Do you have a ballpark number? Are you sticking with the $1 million, or can we get something a little bit more concrete?
Well, it does depend on how many units we would purchase. It also which would lower the cost of storage. There's different packages from different manufacturers. We're looking at a cost of $700,000 to $1.3 million each year. And $700,000 would be the minimal body camera. That would be two per district, which is 14.
Legislator Lurigo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's been an interesting conversation. I'm glad that we finally got to what could be done going forward rather than just talking about the 2017 study. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, if all else being equal, this was free, that we would be, you know, signing up and trying to figure out how we would do it. On that point, though, if it were free, have there been discussions with the road patrol deputies as to how they feel or the ones that were part of the 2017 study in terms of whether they think they were beneficial, anything like that, or how they would feel going forward?
At the end of the pilot program, each deputy, one of the 13, were required to fill out a survey and give their opinions. So each and every one was given time to complete it, and we put it as part of our package going forward. And to answer your other question, if the PBA was here, they would back this up. We continue to talk with them about the implementation of a full-time program. Again, if the funding is available, and if it doesn't go with some of our other priorities against our other priorities.
And on the other priority issue, you know, we heard that, you know, maybe the SWAT team or the helicopter is a conversation for a different day, but it really isn't. You know, we're talking money. I mean, the bottom line is, how much money is this body going to put towards the sheriff's office to show, you know, what our priorities are and whether the sheriff's priorities match? You know, we're the funding source. And yes, there are grants, and Chief Green, and I'm sure you're looking at grants for everything every day. But the question really comes down to money. And so I guess I don't have my budget book with me, and I apologize. But you said that it's between $750,000 and $1.3 million per year. What is that as a percentage of your current operating budget for 2019? What, do you know what your total operating budget is?
About 1.6 million.
1.6 million?
106.
106, okay, so 106 million. So you're at about 1%, which is not a huge percentage, but still certainly something to be looked at. And you said that, you know, the road patrol, you had zero complaints in the past however many years. What about special events and the special deputies that are there for Bills games? Because, you know, we all saw the story in the paper about the deputy with the issue there. What would the cost be if we were going to outfit every single one of those deputies? Because that seems to be maybe where, you know, there might be some issues.
I would, when you're looking at the cost of a docking station, which can hold up to 8, and body cameras, which are about $500 a piece, times 236. So you would need 40 docking stations, my estimation, and then the cameras. Obviously, the training would go into that as well. So you're looking at more than doubling what we would have for our police force.
So that would be a considerable expense. Right now we've talked mainly about the road patrol, where there's zero complaints, an average of 8 uses of force, not even excessive force, per year. Do the deputies at the special events, do they document their use of force?
Yes. So when we talk about these numbers, that's totality. The deputies working at special events are bound by our policies and procedures, which includes use of force forms, police reports, and reporting if they use force, etc. So there's no exemption to them.
Do those numbers, 10, 11, and 5 for the past 3 years, that includes Bills games? Or that's...
Yes, our seasonal deputies that come from our surrounding sheriff's offices are required to fill out use of force forms if, in fact, they use force.
Okay.
At a Bills game.
All right. So, 2017, the year that we had the pilot program, there were 13 cameras?
Yes.
How many deputies?
13.
Well, how many deputies total?
Are we in the
road patrol special division,
About 200 with reserves.
So 200 deputies with reserves for all of 2017, and there were only 11 instances of force reported.
Use of force forms completed.
I think that's a pretty good, percentage based on, 365 days a year, the amount of deputies, what's going on, whether it's on the road, at events, et cetera. I'm willing to continue having this conversation, but I think we also need to have it in the context of funding, because that's what it's going to be. And whether or not the funding is just for the road patrol, whether it's for road patrol, special events, et cetera, we need to come together and figure out how much money we're looking to put towards that out of the county budget. I've been on the legislature for, a number of years now, and it's not too often that we give the sheriff's office more money. You asked for part-time deputies in the jail division. We gave you that because of the overtime issues and concerns that have existed. But in terms of giving you more money to do stuff, I don't remember a time that we've really done that. So I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that we're having the conversation. But it's not just a conversation that we can have in a vacuum when there are other issues that need to be addressed, like the full-time SWAT team, like the helicopter, and those types of situations. So I appreciate your time today.
If I can add one recent example, when this body did give us more money, and we were unendingly appreciative, is for our narcotics unit. And I think you've seen the results of that, the problems that we're having, and the continued success. And I openly, frequently share that resulted from the help and the cooperation of this body, and wouldn't have happened without it. To the comment about the stadium and specific details, we have, with the, blessings or the help of Buffalo Police, deployed fixed cameras at the stadium in our problem areas with that eye in the sky tower that they've gotten, so that some of the bus lot at the stadium may well be better served by a much less expensive fixed camera than by body cameras. So a cheaper way. But most importantly, I want to point out that at $106 million budget, about 85% of it is the jail. So when we compare that $1 million expense to the road patrol budget, it is a huge part of the police services budget.
Yeah,
not so much of our overall budget.
That's a great point, and I appreciate you making that. And I apologize that I didn't differentiate, because you're right. If 85% of your budget is jail management division, the 1.3 million or more, if we're adding in the special deputies, doubling it basically, at least, that's more. Yeah, it's more like 10% of your budget. One last question. It's sort of anecdotal. I saw that there's a conversation about body cams that cannot be turned off. They can't be turned off at all? What if a deputy has to go to the bathroom?
That would again, under our policy before, was that it was initiated when there was an incident. We've looked at other agencies, talked with them, best practices, and so on. We have not found anybody that implements a full-time body camera anymore. The waste of data, the incident that you're talking about right there, when, you know, there's personal time as well.
Sure.
And it's absolutely useless and waste of money to have it on at all times.
Right. All right. Thank you very much.
I want to allow Mr. Breeden to comment a little bit before we wrap up, because I know that storage. I'm sorry.
I have a question.
I'm not going to him yet. I just was acknowledging. Because I know that a lot of the cost associated with body cams boils down to the storage as well. Am I correct? So we have to have policies and processes in place to make sure that we can store the footage and use it as needed. So I want to transition to that, but I know other legislators have a couple of questions. I just want to talk in regards to finances, because though I understand the sheriff's office has other priorities with public safety that have to be tended to, I do believe that it's important for us as a body, and the sheriff who manages and operates and kind of dictates what you feel your budget should be, to be able to work together with it when it comes to things like asset forfeiture. Do you see any additional funding that you guys have on your end where you'd be willing to meet halfway and cover the cost?
Well,
or at least review it.
We would be open to it. However, mm-hmm. There's been times where we've received zero and seized asset forfeitures, whether cash or cars or whatever it may be, in a budget year. Therefore, now we're left with a big gap. It's unreliable in regard to a funding source, and it should probably be deleted from this discussion only for that reason.
The city, it's not just that. With the city of Buffalo, the state attorney general's office contributed $150,000 towards their body. I mean, is there research? There's other funding sources where I believe it could be a partnership effort to find the funding to implement something like this.
Absolutely, $150,000.
Have you looked into that?
Yes, most in 2017, that was part of our. Process in regards to looking at where the money would come from or how we could find extra money. Most of those were one-time grants to implement it. There was no long-term sustaining program for 5 years that we discovered. And again, that's if it's a one-time shot, sure, we can defer the first year costs, but where are we going to get the costs for the subsequent years? And it's a dangerous mechanism to rely on is outside funding for this. The funding for this, if we move forward, implement this, and have full intention of having this go throughout the sheriff's office in regards to police services, I think it's incumbent on all the parties to find a consistent budget source, not anything else.
Legislator, also, if I could, I think it's really important to note that there is no outside funding source now, period. There is no federal grant. There is no state grant. There is no talk of any federal or any state grant to provide funds for body cameras. As the sheriff had indicated before, the previous president talked about it but never actually implemented it. And there is nothing that we've seen in the governor's budget or in the budgets from either houses of the state legislature that has any funding in it. So I don't want people to leave here with the thought that we're going to go write a grant and this is going to be paid for. There is no grant source out there at the moment. That doesn't mean that there might not be in the future, but for right now, there is no grant source other than you.
To the same point, you weren't totally wrong. If the Department of Justice made money available for Buffalo, mm-hmm. that where the Department of Justice has involved themselves in the operation of a local agency, state, county, or city, that's part of the law that was written, that where the federal government involves themselves enforcing its will upon local government, it must also supply money. That's a part of that. We don't have that in the sheriff's office. So again, contrary to what's been said, we did not have a Department of Justice finding of any inappropriate use of force. So please differentiate between the two. We use force, right? We're authorized by law to use force. The viewing then is the unnecessary or excessive force is the problem, and we have not had any showing of inappropriate excessive force. Any pattern for that within the sheriff's office?
Is the ability to just be able to provide transparency overall with any use of force a benefit to public safety?
You know, I can't help but think of this, and to make it somewhat religious, I often wonder, how did Jesus feel when Thomas didn't believe that he came back from the dead? And how did all of those other apostles feel when Thomas said that you're lying? Jesus didn't come back until I stick my finger in the holes in his hands and place my hand into the holes in his side. I will not believe. So I wonder if Jesus was mad or if the apostles were mad. But I do have to say that I am offended, and our deputies on the road that put themselves at risk must be more greatly offended. These are honorable people. We go to great efforts to find honorable people and to teach them and to provide them what they need. That we think we all are concerned about their morale. And to say that we don't believe you, die for us, but we don't believe you, is not really the relationship that I'm trying to build between the deputies and the people of Erie County. We are there for you. We are not there to hurt you. If you're aware of individual isolated acts of misconduct, then we beg you to share that information with us so we can do something about it. That's throughout the office. Whether or not we need cameras to do what or accomplish what should just exist between as much trust in the public and our deputies as there is between the public and your own body.
Mr. Sheriff, I don't know why the question of transparency would offend you. I do not mean to offend any road deputy or anyone in law enforcement in the county that goes above and beyond to protect the residents in the county. We live in an age where there are technological advancements, so my question was not to offend the morale of anyone, but specific to keeping up with time. There are other municipalities within the county that are implementing body cams. And we know that transparency is something that, yes, could be a benefit to the public, but it's also a benefit to those road deputies that are on the road and find themselves in situations that could be brought into question. So I don't want you to take this questioning as me speaking ill of anybody specifically. It's me too, just wanting us all to have an opportunity to keep up with the times and to find the funding to do it. So I'm going to allow Legislator Rath to make his comment, and then we are almost at time, and I feel like, Mr. Breeden, you've been sitting here for so long, and we have said on more than one occasion that storing the actual footage is going to be something that is absolutely paramount in implementing body cams should we come to a place where we can implement them, and that is where heavy of the cost lies. So I do want to allow you your comments for being here with us today. Legislator Rath.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and that's exactly the line of what my questions are going to be. But first of all, I want to thank the sheriff and his team for being here today and being so forthright with us. This is certainly a challenging issue, but we appreciate everything you do today and throughout the year for our county. My question has to do with regards to the actual videos and what happens to the videos as they are shot and how they are stored, where they are stored, and the cost that's associated with that. Mm-hmm. Because to your point, Madam Chair, mm-hmm. we have heard about this in the past, and I think that this creates somewhat of a challenge and a roadblock and a significant cost that needs to be overcome to properly manage and store and make it searchable and identifiable, and when things are foiled, how it can be located. So my questions are aligned very much so with the storage of the data and the cost and the role that the sheriff's office plays and the role that Erie County plays. And Mike, that's an invitation to you as well on this one.
Your microphone.
I'll let the sheriff's office talk first, and then I'll follow up.
One of the manufacturer that we use, the vendor that we used, has a cloud, as most body camera manufacturers do. And it's up to the agency where or how they want to store the evidence. And we, just because it was a pilot program, we chose to use the vendor's cloud. I could tell you that the storage for that cloud, it all depends on how much metadata will be uploaded. But you're looking at somewhere around $300,000 a year for that storage. And you also need licensing agreements for each one of the deputies to access that.
Now, Scott, that $300,000 is based on what? Where does that number come from? How many cameras?
It's not necessarily the camera. It's the storage size. I don't want to throw out gigabytes or terabytes because I'll screw those numbers up. Somebody else would know better than I would. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you that, looking at what we did in our proposal, we're looking at $300,000 a year for storage. And that was a static cost. Now, if we decide to keep every evidence that we ever produce with these body cameras, that would go up because cost of storage goes up. If we decide to delete, then that number would probably stay somewhere around $300,000 a year. That's using their cloud, their right. services.
Now, would we have the capacity to store that within the county system?
Yeah, basically, as mentioned, that there's two choices of storage, meaning the cloud-based service, that the data does not sit on our premise, it sits out in the cloud, and then local storage, meaning it resides within Erie County's storage. The cost varies. Basically, what you would want to make sure is you had a program around body camera usage and policies, like turning the cameras on, when you turn them off. Policy on how long you store the data. Do we keep it for 6 months, 9 months, a year, 2 years? All that policy then drives the cost and technology based upon your requirements of your program and your policies would then drive the technology you would need to implement those policies and programs. Storage-wise, yes, we can store files. We do it for every other organization, department in the county, Central Police Services and so forth. But the technical cost of the cameras and the storage aspect grows with time. You have the maintenance of the cameras, you have the increased storage as more files come into the system. On an average cost, roughly for 100 cameras, you would be talking about $10,000 a month in storage on average. And if you had 200, you just multiply that. But if your policies say we got to keep it 2 years, then that's going to double the cost. So it depends on your policy and your program, depends on how much it will cost to store. And we can store locally or in the cloud, but then you have to look at your security aspects of storing in the cloud. What happens? We don't have the data. If the vendor goes out of business or if they get hacked or if something happens, then, who owns that data? Whereas it resides on our equipment, we own the data, and so forth. So it is a decision that would need to be made based on policy and procedure.
Is there a standard period of time in which the data has to be stored for, 5 years, or is there something there's a regulation or a requirement with regards to the storage of the data?
I do not know the regulations for the state. It would be state-driven, and then each between the district attorneys and the legal teams within the county would decide how long they would need to keep the data. Now, some of the data, if it's a court case or so forth, would have to be retained longer than most of it. But yes, I do not know the exact answer.
I see.
Okay. That is a major concern. The ownership of the data, and it's come up before, and actually in contrast, where we store data with the county alleges that the county owns the data, and it's the county's decision when to release it. When we store data with the New York State Crime Analysis, they concede statewide that the submitting agency owns the data, and only the submitting agency can release it. So that the ability of the county to store the data countywide would be attractive, but for the fact that the county contends then it's their data and they'll decide when and how to release it. And the rules that apply that the county has used in deciding when to release that data are a very set, different set of rules that apply to law enforcement agencies and the law enforcement agency's release. So if they claim they own the data, their rules of release apply, And that is totally unacceptable to us to put that, the release of data under a different set of rules just because of where it's stored would be one of the fatal flaws of us accepting this, where it be the
Sheriff,
county that.
Sheriff, I think that's a critical distinction in this discussion right now is who owns the data and how it can be. And it's not, Mike, it's not, we're just trying to, you know, I guess do our due diligence right now as we're learning about this, but that's a very important legal point that we would have to get to the bottom of.
Yeah, that would be, yeah, your policy and your program would dictate the rules and bylaws of which who owns that data and who can retrieve it and so forth like that. I mean, that would be all decided up front before any technology or any solution, whether it's cloud or on-prem solution, that would have to all be ironed out.
That almost sounds like the first hurdle that would need to be crossed before we did anything here is to figure out how the data would be handled and owned and managed.
Well, I think beyond it, the program would need to be developed. And policies put in place before you even looked at technology, because you derive requirements out of those processes and the procedures as you go through these committees. And then basically once you have that program, then you basically go out and look at technology in order to meet those requirements and that program.
Right.
So like a 12-hour recording or mute button or all those requirements would be driven out of a program or a committee that would prepare that program.
I see.
A little bit here. This would, it's the ownership and the word we and the county and so forth. I can tell you, being directly involved with the accreditation, okay, and I think we've mentioned to this body before, there are more than 650 police agencies in New York State, and there are less than 20% that are accredited. The Erie County Sheriff's Office is an accredited police agency. Mm-hmm. What that means is we are forced to abide by a set of accreditation standards that are set by DCJS, and we can't vary from that. And those standards includes access, not whether somebody would access, did access, but can access. And that is evidence, and nobody but our police agency can access evidence. It would jeopardize every single case that we have and our accreditation. So the county and a county having access to, I don't know if that means that we would set up our own loop, meaning it's managed by our IT folks, people that are employed by the sheriffs, but that is probably the biggest hurdle.
Right.
And there are situations that exist today where standards are jeopardized because of outside entities being able to see or search or access. What not? The issue isn't suggesting anybody has, it's the ability to access.
Thank you, Chief Joslin. I think that even further reinforces, you know, the importance of all of this. So for now, I'm all set, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Legislator. And will you wrap us up, Legislator Brusso, with your question?
I will. Thank you, Madam Chairman. First of all, I just want to clarify. From this seat right here, as you know, I grew up in a police household. There will never, ever, ever be any disrespect given to any police officer from this chair, and I don't believe that committee ever, this committee intends that. We're looking for a solution here, and as I'm sitting here taking notes in that, I came up with a solution that I don't know if could be thought and considered, but cost is obviously going to come into play. We've got some big ticket items that we're going to have to pay for that we should have paid for already, in my belief, but that's irrelevant right now. So we have to look at that. Is there a thought and a willingness, again, to maybe implement this over a five-year period, 20% per year, to actually gain, you know, and then as you implement at 20%, you're able to gauge it. You're able to see the effectiveness of it, and by the time you get to the five-year period and the 100%, you've got it down. You know what you're doing. You know what you're asking. You know how to cut the cost. You know the initial cost and the initial expense that comes out of our pockets, all of our pockets, is usually higher than a year down the road. We learn how to manage things and do things better, and we cut those costs. I mean, that's just what we do. You do it in your household, you do it in our jobs. So is there a willingness to maybe look towards that to get over this hurdle of, you know, the other things?
I
Absolutely, and actually I've given some thought to saying if we could get 5 cameras or 10 cameras, a limited number, how would we best deploy them? And certainly recognize that for the newest officers just going on the road, an opportunity for a supervisor to continue to monitor them after they're working on their own. There are other benefits to this as well. The one of the issues that still comes out, that as the rules for the release of this information change, then our how we use that also would change. So anticipating that a new officer would be more apt to make some rookie mistakes than a more seasoned officer, that's fine for us to use to correct the officer. Not so fine when the officer is embarrassed, when his mistake becomes newspaper fodder. So again, we are trying to balance everything. I care about being transparent to the county, but I'm not going to waste county funds just to appear more transparent. Show me where we're not being transparent, and let us address that.
Legislator, if I just may address that, I think it is a good fiscal plan in regards to spreading out the costs. One concern that we would have is that selection of those deputies, and if this person has one in this district, but the other deputy does not have one, how do we say no? That's one of the things that we would be concerned about. So we would have to be flexible in regards to that. So if there is a percentage that say yes, then we would move forward and have some flexibility of adding one or two cameras. That's certainly a possibility. We wouldn't close the door on that at all. The other issue is that you're still looking at close to $500,000 in static costs in regards to personnel for county attorney dedicated for the FOIA requests. You're looking at a sergeant to supervise the release and use of this evidence, and then a couple deputies to actually do the technical work in regards to all that. So that's a static cost in regards to that personnel, but then moving forward, whether we implement 20 this year, 20 the following, and so forth, certainly open to the discussion, but with some flexibility in regards to if we designate 20 but 30 want it this year, then we'd have to look at that too.
All right. Well, good management practices would, you know, your people. You know, mm-hmm. like the sheriff said, maybe the new sheriffs, new deputies that go out. You know your people. You know who should have them, who should not, and it should probably be on a rotation basis. I don't want to tell you how to do your job or pretend that I could. But I most certainly think that getting over some of these bumps today and actually putting some thought to a solution and an implementation project is going to benefit everyone. I go back to the upswing where we said the good side is, like, in this day and age, and you make so many calls, and you have a single ride deputy out there, the mere fact that they have a camera on them is got to be... It's got to be beneficial, I think, for their safety, their safety and their job, and just the information that you gather from it. That's, you know, I don't know. Can you delete data? That's, let's say I had a ride. I had an 8-hour or 12-hour shift, and it was a perfect shift. I made 13, 14 speeding tickets. Had a DWI, but everybody was cooperative. Everything was good. Can that material then not be saved and reduce the cost there? I mean, you would have to tell me.
Some of those cases that you described are exactly the ones that would be deleted first, would be up for consideration, and learning from other agencies of their parameters and what gets deleted, how it gets deleted, when it gets deleted, we would certainly do that. And yes, it does. Every time you delete one, you're probably adding a couple more. So staying on top of that, it obviously wouldn't be deleted until there's a conclusion to the case. If it's a DWI, it's going to be a little longer than just no seatbelt or cell phone. But if there's any other suggestion of improper behavior, then we may never delete that, be just for at least minimum of 3 years, because I shouldn't say never, for minimum of 3 years, because of the notice of claim is 3 years after the incident. So you're looking at you know, you have to look at all the legal aspects of when things will be adjudicated, when they can be, when they can be initiated, and that all fits into the formula of when, what, when, and how will be deleted.
To go to the potential, the expense here, and the amount of work that's involved.
To the potential of the amount of work that's involved and the expense, and I better someone other than me, maybe to your counsel would explain, but to the Rosario rule that any potential witness in any court proceeding, that any record, written or recorded record, that would prove or disprove that individual's testimony must be preserved and made available for the court to review, and I guess for the defendant's review, which would, how far down the line that gets pushed, but as you mentioned, every traffic offense that could say that any admissions made by the driver or any comments made by the officer, anybody that might be interviewed on the side of the road, and then 6 months later, those statements become necessary in court, all those things have to be preserved and presented to the court. And again, to say 2 hours of time to redact or prepare a 10-minute recording, we'll have more people involved in reviewing tapes than we have people recording the tapes. So that is one of the things that we're looking at. How much more expensive could this come? And the courts, I also have seen, have become more lenient in that cases that once had to be notice of intent that had to be filed against the county or against the government within 60 or 90 days are now routinely being extended to the points when we have gone beyond our retention period and the cases are still being brought and we can't adequately defend our agency, and in fact the county taxpayer can't be defended because the courts have become more lenient to extending these periods. So I do see that storage and obtaining period is going to get increasingly worse as time goes on.
Do we have the 2017 still in storage?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so if it's 60 to 90 days that we, you know, that the county's held on the dime, if after that, couldn't we just do it the old-fashioned way, the way we're doing it now?
I think once the data has been obtained, if it's discarded or lost or damaged in a fire, there's a negative inference is brought in court against the party that had the data. So for us to lose that data, to no longer have it, would have a negative impact. And again, I think this is better answered by an attorney than me, but that could be a problem to once have the data and no longer be able to show that. I lost my notes is a suggestion, and again, to where the offense is taken, and I don't mean from you, but to suggest that since you lost your notes, you must be lying is acceptably, to me, offensive to the law enforcement people that routinely sometimes lose their notes.